Is there a special? Nope, we're good. I'm not singing it. We'll have Haley come back. I'll run you all out of the sanctuary real quick. Let's take our Bibles tonight. 2 Corinthians, if you will, in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Joan. Appreciate that. And Haley, appreciate your help. 2 Corinthians tonight, we're going to finish the book of Corinthians. And it's been rich and full of so many good things that, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking as we're singing those songs, I thought, you know, every church kind of has their own personality, their own DNA. And recently, my wife and I had a chance to go down to Florida and take a few days and be with our son in Jacksonville. And so I ended up going to church there at First Baptist in Jacksonville. Always wanted to go to that church. I heard a lot of good things about it. Never had the opportunity to go. And that Sunday gave me an opportunity to go. And so, you know, it's interesting as you go around, whether I'm in Texas or Florida, Ohio or whatever, every church kind of has its own DNA made up. And why is that so? Is because it's made up of people and that in the body of Christ. And I really enjoyed the opportunity to be there to worship the Lord with them. And so I often think about churches, and it's true right here in Corinthians, church at Corinth was unique in the fact that as the church was established there in Corinth, Paul's had a chance, we're going to see tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, to go back and to visit that church one more time. And this would be the third time he goes back to visit them. And he's going to say some strong words here as he wraps up the chapter. But he's had a lot to say to them all through the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians when we looked at it. You know, there was a lot of, if I was to describe the church at Corinth, I'd describe it a church that still had a lot of carnality in it, a lot of things. And so therefore, a lot of the issues that were addressed here in the book of Corinthians, Paul established with them that they're saved by grace through faith in Christ, and spends a lot of time helping them understand that they're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and reminding them that human wisdom, Paul didn't depend upon human wisdom. Paul depended upon the power of the Holy Spirit. God revealed to Paul and to the church at Corinth gifts. And the importance that if everybody in the church used their spiritual gifts, he took time in here to deal with gifts, and the church has been gifted. You know, when you think about it, our church will only be as effective and will only go as far as the body of Christ will utilize the gifts, spiritual gifts that God has given to them. We're only going to be able to go as far as the people will be able to carry it. And in that area there. And so it's so important that we use and utilize, because God fits together in the body of Christ, believers and individuals. Not everybody is gifted the same way, and many different gifts are given and utilized in the body of Christ. You know, he has a lot of good things to say in here about marriage. There was a lot of things going on, and, you know, probably we need to resurface. Periodically, there's been an attack, I really believe, on the family. Matter of fact, I was looking at a book in my library the other day written by Tim LaHaye. Now, Tim LaHaye's in heaven today. How many of you ever remember Tim LaHaye? Anybody remember him? And it talks about the breakdown and the attack on the family unit. And so this is not something new. This has been going on for a few decades now, that Satan is after the home, the family, the husband, the wife, the family, the children, and trying to destroy that foundation. So here in Corinthians, Paul deals with marriage and the importance of how marriage is and even addresses and deals with how do you handle divorce, how do you handle remarriage, and he deals with that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So tonight, as we look at this great chapter in chapter 13, as he brings it to a close, he starts out in chapter 13, verse 1. He said, this is the third time. He said, I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So the third time he's coming back to Corinth. Literally, many writers believe this is probably around A.D. 57 that he's going back to Corinth, and which he does. He shows up there in the fall of that year and winters with them through the winter. And you think about a congregation, how blessed would you be if you had somebody like the Apostle Paul that would come through and be there for a few months or a year and help the converts. But notice what he does is when he comes back to Corinth. Very sternly, he said, I told you before. He said, and foretell you, as if I were present, he says, the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Now, I don't know, you know, when I think of this, I always kind of picture Paul here as the stern taskmaster and saying here, hey, there's some things going on in Corinth, and if I come again, I'm going to lay it right on the line. I'm going to pinpoint the sin, and I'm going to, call people out and deal with the sin at heart. You know, I have a lot of books in my library. I don't know too many of them, but I got another book in there. It's written by Louis Ensminger, and it's called The J. Frank Norris That I've Known for, what is it, over 34 years. And it's written by Louis Ensminger, who was the Sunday school superintendent for J. Frank Norris. And Norris pastored the First Baptist Church of Fort Worth, Texas, and for many years at the same time pastored the Temple Baptist Church in Detroit. And the right-hand person here in Detroit was with him was Beecham Vick, and Dr. Vick. And what ended up being is Dr. Norris was an unusual person in that many times his sermons would be controversial. He would go in an attack mode on people in the community, people that were evil saloon owners and different things. And I remember one time there was a recorded that somehow there was a train wreck in Fort Worth and somebody had been killed, and he took some of the brain elements, get this, in a whiskey bottle and set it on the pulpit and then preached that day on repentance or preached a sermon on sin. And he was always very controversial in his approach of preaching the word. People would come by the thousands to hear him preach. And I have a record somewhere in my library of him preaching back in the 1940s. And he pastored here at Temple for years, and he would be up here for a while and then go back to Fort Worth and back and forth and fly back and forth and pastor the two congregations at the same time. You can't do that without a great staff and great deacons and guys like Beach and Vic and others and that. So when I think of Paul here, he simply is writing to the church at Corinth. He said, I told you before and I foretell you, if I were present and the second time being absent now, I write to them which have heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, he said, I will not spare. He said, I will tell the truth. And say, he says here in verse 3, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. So Paul was always about preaching Christ and always about dealing with sin and always dealing with not allowing sin to get into the camp. And sin can get into the church and begin to have an effect. And so Paul was really coming after that here on the carnality here at the church at Corinth. He said, and for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And so what Paul did here was in the power of the gospel, the power of preaching the gospel, the power of pointing out sin, the power of carrying out the gospel. So what does he say to those at Corinth? Notice in verse 5, examine yourselves, whether ye be what? In the faith. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, and prove yourselves, and know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now that's an interesting word, because now Paul uses it a few times here in this chapter. You might circle that word reprobates. You know what? It simply means in the Bible, reprobate is somebody that is an unprincipled person, somebody that doesn't have a moral compass, somebody that is kind of off the rails. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about God at some point will give people over to what is he called? A reprobate mind. Well, what does that mean? If you continue down that path and choose evil and choose sin and choose carnality and choose wickedness and choose bad things, eventually he'll give you over to an unprincipled mind and unmoral. And boy, I tell you what, you see a lot of that. And evidently that was a problem in the church at Corinth. Now, is it possible, you think here, that that in the church, everybody that is in the church and a believer is saved? But I have literally seen people that thought they were saved and a member of a church, only to come under the conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit of God and realize that they're a sinner and they're not truly born again, and they get converted to Christ. So evidently in the church of Corinth, there were some there in the church, maybe thought they were saved, were not saved. So what does he say? Examine yourselves, he says here, whether you be what? In the faith, whether you be saved. And then prove yourself, whether you be in the faith. And then know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. An unprincipled person, he said. But I trust that ye shall know that we, Paul says, we are not reprobates. So if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we'll have a moral compass. We'll have a godly compass. We'll have a pathway that we'll be able to live for the Lord and do that which is right, and serve the Lord and have a moral compass to live by. And he's saying here, at Corinth, we're not all reprobates. He said, I trust that you shall know that we are not. So he says in verse 7, now I pray to God that you do no evil. And not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, and though we be as reprobates. So it really comes back to this here, saying that, you know, we should live godly in Christ Jesus. We should live honestly above board. We should have a good testimony in our reputation, that we should live for the Lord. And if anything, Jesus commanded the church to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And yet there were a lot of issues here in the church at Corinth. And he says here in verse 8, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And he said, for we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. So when you think about here, his desire was, as he goes back to Corinth, was to be able to preach the gospel, to see these believers get right with the Lord, to live for the Lord, to live godly in Christ Jesus, and to live a life that had a moral compass, that lived a life that had principles, that lived a life that was moving towards perfection. Now, none of us are perfect. And those at Corinth, none of them were perfect, but were moving in the direction of growing in Christ in the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So were there issues and problems at Corinth? Absolutely. And the strife and the goal, though, was to move towards perfection in Christ. So Paul said, therefore, he said, I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness. Now, I find that interesting because he's saying, you know, if I was there, you know, you kind of get the idea. Paul would be bold in his statement and not tolerate sin in the camp and not tolerate wickedness that would get in. And if there was something going on, I think Paul was the kind of guy that he would confront it. And done in according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification. So you notice he ties the word edification to that. So nothing wrong with being bold, nothing wrong with being right to the point and getting right to the point of the issue, but to do so in a way of in the spirit of love, in the spirit of grace, in the spirit of edification, to lifting somebody up. So if somebody has fallen, if somebody's so what do you do? What do you do if in the church body, if somebody that you go to church with or somebody you're aware of, or, you know, you get a congregation that's a larger congregation and it gets spread out. You don't know everybody real well, but suppose you become aware of something that is sinful in that. Do you just let it go? Do you pray for them? Do you confront it? Paul's saying here that in the spirit of love, we ought to try to help a brother or sister. He goes on to teach in here in the scripture that ye which are spiritual, to help those that are weaker along the way and to lift them up and to lift them up in the spirit of edification, to edify, to build up. Never to put down, to tear down, but to build up and to encourage. So that word edification is an important. And he notice what he says here, and not to what? Destruction. So the goal is never to point out somebody's sin. Matter of fact, it's always, I always think it's better to let the Holy Spirit do that. But is there anything wrong with coming along beside somebody? I don't think there is. If it's done the right way in a spirit of love and a spirit of edification and a spirit of putting your arm around somebody and loving them and helping them in Christ to be able to see the error of the way and to help them, not to destroy them, but to edify them and to build them up and encourage them. And I think of this in Paul here, oh, but by the grace of God, there would be you and I. And so Paul really gives a lot of good instruction here. Therefore, he said, I write these things. He said, I'm not there, but if I was there, he said here, lest being present, I should use sharpness. I think Paul in a congregation here at Corinth, if he was there, he would be bold and blunt and right to the point and get right to the heart of the issue for the purpose of edification and also then protecting the body of Christ. And the Lord hath given to me, according to the power which the Lord hath given me, to edify and not to destroy. So many times you got to really be careful, because done the wrong way, done and not in the right spirit, can send somebody out of the church and run them away the other way and say, well, I'm never going back there again. No, it's done in whatever we do, we should do always in a spirit of love and a spirit of encouragement, a spirit of helping, a spirit of helping them conquer and get over whatever it is that's going on in their life. And so then Paul says here, finally, brethren, finally, as he brings us all, he says, farewell. And he says, be perfect. Well, how do you be perfect? And that's always a challenge. Every day, you know, you get up and you realize, you know, God's doing a work in our hearts and our lives. And the biggest challenge is for you to take care of you, me to take care of me. I can't straighten you out. You can't straighten me out. We got to do the best we can to serve the Lord. But if we can help each other in the body of Christ, by all means, we should do that. He says, farewell. Be perfect. Be of a good comfort. And then he says here, be of one mind. And then what? Live in peace. And that one mind is in Christ Jesus. And so live in peace, and then the God of love and the peace shall be with you. And then he says here, which was a custom in the culture at that day, greet one another with a holy kiss. And then I think you got to be careful how you handle that in church and going around. Some people are not going to be too prone to being greeted with a holy kiss and that. But some cultures, some customs are greeted in different ways in that. So we greet oftentimes with just a handshake. But he said, all saints here salute you, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So as he wraps this great chapter up and brings it to a head here, keep in mind, you know, he had a rough life. We just spent a lot of time last week talking about here the thorn in the flesh. Christianity many times becomes a struggle, and Paul's thorn, I really believe, was his eyesight. And we dealt with that back in chapter 12 here. And so whatever you're going through and whatever the challenge is, keep in mind what we said last week in verse 9 of chapter 12. My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in that weakness. And so whatever it is. So the body of Christ is not perfect and has its challenges, has its ups and downs and that. And so we know, go back to chapter 9. Let me just kind of go back to a couple things here that want to point out that he talks about here, the ministering to the saints. And and that's really what he's doing. He's ministering to the church at Corinth. And he says here that as touching the ministering of the saints, he said, I know the frowardness of your mind, and that he should be an encouragement, that we should not be ashamed of this same confident boasting, and that we come here, I thought it necessary, he says in verse 5, to exhort. Exhort the brethren, and that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty, and wherever he had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. So Paul's encouragement here, Paul's desire all the way through Corinthians here, was to be an encouragement, to be lifting up and to help them, and that God here, he even dealt with here the area of giving and giving to the poor saints in Jerusalem, and dealing with the collection for the poor saints and helping those throughout Macedonia, and the example of the Macedonian churches. And what great churches they were. When you talk about the Macedonian churches, we're talking about the church at Ephesus or Philippi, church at Thessalonica, the church at Berea. Those became great testimonies and many times had their own issues. Look back in chapter 8 and just kind of a reflection back of where we were at with this. Where Paul said, and brethren, we do to wit of you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So all these churches, like I said, like Corinth, they had their own DNA, they had their own personality. And verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. I don't know how you can put more into one verse than that in verse 2 of chapter 8, that in the great trial of affliction of these churches, even when times were challenging and things were rough and things were hard, that in the deepest trials of whatever it was that they're going through, they can still, out of an abundance of their joy and even the poverty that they're going through, be liberal in their giving and give out of a heart of love. So Paul here was teaching that these churches of Macedonia as a great example as they come and were helping those and the poor saints at Jerusalem to be able to be there. You know, it's just like today, you know, we took the benevolent offering today, and then Ron Sonchuk and I were talking. We became aware of a need today of somebody that needs help. And so there's always a reason that we can reach out to others. And I know many times people will give sacrificially to be able to help somebody that has a genuine need or a harder time in life. That's what they were going through here at Jerusalem. So really, Paul exhorts them, and a lot of time spent on the exhortation given here. And so the heart of Paul, when you look at it, is pretty, you know, is a servant of Christ, is an amazing servant, doing what God had called him to do, and getting ready to go to Corinth. But several things stand out when you think about it here, that he talks about this being a reprobate. Examine yourselves, and whether you be in the faith, whether you be saved, and then prove yourselves and that in the Lord, and know yourselves, know ye not in your own selves how that Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates in that. And so when you look at it here, he has a lot to say, brings it all to a conclusion here to the church at Corinth, and then finally, be perfect, be of comfort, be of a one mind, and live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So all that we do in harmony, we're to do together in the bond of Christ. So it's really interesting that you know, whether we're engaged in some ministries you won't be engaged in, but we should all be interested in, we should all be a part in prayer. Whatever there's going on in the children's ministry, we should be praying for that. Whatever's going on with the teenagers, we should be praying for that. I would encourage you to don't give up praying for those that were recently saved, and that your niece and your nephew, and I think the friend of theirs that came that were saved at camp, and then John and Stacy, their grandson Odin that was recently saved. Continue to pray for them and uplift them and encourage them and exhort them. And so beware. I know the challenge is always difficult. How do you help somebody and that's struggling along the way? If you do it in the spirit of love, and you do it in encouragement, if you do it by way of exhortation, if you come along beside somebody and say, and I think one way to do it is, hey, brother, or hey, sister, whoever it is, let me pray with you, or let me pray. And many times in the congregation, I'll have somebody say, hey, pastor, pray for me. I'm struggling with this or struggling with that or whatever. And you know, you always try to keep that confidential. It's not stuff that you should publish or put out there, but we need to come along beside others and pray for them. So I thought maybe tonight, you know, it's a shorter chapter here, but I thought maybe important as we wrap the summer, we're going into the fall, we're going into Awana time of the year, so we're getting ready. School will be starting before long. Faith Bible Institute will be starting before long. I think it'd be good that we just take a moment and pause and just ask for God's leadership and God's hand and His power and His direction and His hand upon all that we do as we move forward. And if you're thinking of a brother or sister in Christ, somebody that you know right now you can reach out to, that's who we need to reach out to. You know, years ago we used to do what was called a back to school Sunday or a back to church Sunday. And, you know, there's sometimes over the summer months people will along the way. So there's somebody you know that you need to come along beside and encourage or exhort and lift up. And prayer, by all means, we should definitely do that. So I'm going to ask tonight, maybe if you would, and just pause for prayer. Maybe tonight, Mark, can you help us out tonight in prayer? And Brother Earl, you don't mind if you'd help us out maybe tonight, Brother Neil, and get some of the guys here. Brother Warren, would you help us out tonight in prayer? And then I'll close in prayer tonight. So just pray for the different ministries as we are going in, and thank the Lord for Child Evangelism Fellowship. For those that are saved, pray for these new converts. Pray for the programs and ministries that are going into the fall of the year. And we just need to seek the Lord and to realize there are no perfect churches, but we need the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God on all the ministries and all the things that we do as we head into the fall of the year. So why don't we close out tonight in a spirit of prayer, if you would. Mark, lead us, if you would. Heavenly Father, God, tonight we love you. Thank you for this opportunity of Bible study and the preaching of your word, the music, and a time in prayer together tonight. And God, we have much to be thankful for and many blessings to thank you for. And yet, God, as we come before you, we would ask that you would have your hand upon all that we do. We pray for every facet of every ministry, from the music to the children's church to Sunday school to the Awana to all the different things that are going on, to our Golden Agers and the ladies' ministry, the different things going on at Bethel, the camps. God, that you'll just have your hand upon the ministry at large. Most of all, God, that we would live godly in Christ Jesus, be with our people, help them to maintain a moral compass. God, we pray you put a hedge of protection about them and keep Satan away from them. God, for those that are weaker in their faith, and we pray that we can come along beside them and encourage them and lift them up and pray for them and help them on their journey in the Christian life. And God, we just thank you for the victories that have been won. We thank you for the challenges that lie before us. God, we thank you for the opportunity to live by faith, to trust you one day at a time, one week at a time, and just totally put our faith and confidence in you. God, we pray tonight for America. We pray for our country, for this land. We're reminded in the scripture that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sin, and then will I heal their land. So God, tonight we humbly bow ourselves before you. And God, this country, this nation, the state that we live in, and this country as a whole, we need your presence and your power. So God, we pray your hand to be upon the direction, the future, for those that will be elected and put into office. God, we pray exactly the right one would be put in, into place. And God, we just pray that we can pray that person, whoever that might be, to be the one that you would want, and that would help to lead our country, our nation back, and get a moral compass back, and to turn things from the evils that are presented in our world today to the good things. And God, that we'll be able to move forward for the cause of Christ, and what time we have left, that we'll be faithful in the preaching of the gospel and the winning of the souls to Christ. And God, we do pray for the upcoming meetings, that you'll be with Todd and Michelle Allen as they prepare to come. You'll be with Dr. Michael Hertz as he prepares to come. God, you'll have your hand upon the message of the Word of God. And Father, we just pray you'll guide and direct, and may the power of the Holy Spirit, God, today just convict us of our sin, draw us together as a body of Christ and a body of believers, and may we beseech you more and more each and every day, and through the power of prayer, depend upon you for victories and for guidance and direction. Be with those that have been saved, God, that you'll keep them safe and allow them to grow in Christ. And God, we pray for the lost that come through our doors, that if they have not yet trusted Christ, that they would open their heart and be saved and trust you before it's too late. So God, thank you for your manifold blessings. Thank you for the Lord's day today. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Have a great week. Good to see you. Amen.